Blog Talk Radio.
Sound Health Options Show with Sherry Edwards and Richard Olson, brought to you this week by NanoVoice. Whoops, you just took my screen away. That's very funny. From our friends at the Bioacoustic Research Center, and this is the show for March 13th, 2011. Good morning, Sherry. How are you? Whoops, Sherry, I can't hear you.
I said I'm a lot better than you are, it sounds like.
There we go. Yeah, there we go. Now I can hear you.
Frog.
Yeah, I feel kind of like a frog.
But it's
I evidently have bronchitis or something.
It's a wonderful radio voice.
Thank you. I try to get it more down here. If I could keep it in this range, it would be really good. I'd be really I try to call up my ex-girlfriends when I have the very white voice and make them all like, oh, I'm so sorry. But that's a different show. Although we're talking about relationships and people getting together today, so I think it's actually not a bad segue.
Richard, that was a fib. You don't really do that.
No, I don't. That's right. I'm not that kind of guy. I'd like to be that kind of guy. Maybe.
Well, it sounds like you've had an interesting week.
It's been pretty interesting. Watching what's going on with the, and sort of feeling the earth, you know, shift with the huge earthquake in Japan and the results of that, and plus also being out here on the West Coast in California and having friends down in Santa Cruz and in way up in the Eureka area of Crescent City and knowing people who have issues from that, and you know, just watching the impact of a movement of that much in the earth is, you know, it's pretty amazing.
Well, you think you have trouble till you see that stuff.
Exactly.
And a nuclear plant exploded. Thousands are dead from that.
Yeah.
A tiny, tiny country like Japan. Aren't they about the size of California?
I flunked geography, but I think so. I think it's not a huge country, so I think it's, you know, it has a lot of impact. I knew that when I heard one report on the news where they were talking about some of the impact that was happening, and they talked about a small town of 1 million. So they have a lot of people, but they're very compressed. They're very compacted. So they seem to be.
That's not a good note to start a show on. We should start the show on a high note.
Let's start on a high note. Go for the high note.
Can we talk about a case we did last week at the Institute?
Please.
Okay, as most of you former listeners know that we are from the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology, but we do have some new listeners. We even have some new people on WebEx with us. So any of you who want to watch what we're doing, you can go to soundhealthoptions.com, and there is a link there on the front under radio shows, and you can watch what's going on. So I do recognize some new people with us. So I thought I would talk about what we actually do at the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology. We stick a microphone in front of your face. We ask you to talk to us for 30 seconds. And then we look at the frequencies in your voice. We look at the math matrix that your voice creates for all the little micro tremors, for the distances between all of the notes, for the scales your voice is in. And last week we had several cases, but one incredible case. A woman came in from Atlanta, Georgia, and we have people from all over the world come in, but she had a diagnosis of Parkinson's disease. And Parkinson's is a neurotransmitter kind of disease. They have tremors. They get very fatigued. Their muscles get stiff. And it's kind of a catch-all kind of diagnosis. But we looked at her vocal print, and she did not have Parkinson's. She had lockjaw. left over from some kind of tetanus vaccination. And
wow.
We started, yeah. And any of you ever seen lockjaw? Your muscles can't move. Your joints just don't move. You freeze when you try to move or send a signal to something. It just doesn't go there. It goes very slowly. So she had tremors. She had fatigue. She had the freezing. And she had incredibly severe TMJ. And people just, they didn't think of lockjaw, a reaction to tetanus. Now, she didn't have a severe kind where they totally freeze up and can't move at all. But she had enough of it that we were able to see the gene and the protein. So it took us about 2 hours to get her tremors, her shaking to stop, and get her to where she could get up and down in a chair in an instant. Her fatigue was gone. She could open her jaw better. It still was kind of stiff and cracking a bit. But we lent her a tone box, a frequency box that entrained her brain and brought her back the next day. And it was just an amazing transition of what can happen. So that's what we're trying to do at this center. And we do some fun stuff with it too. Like on this show, we're going to try to do some compatibility using a very famous couple, Kate Middleton and Prince William. And when we announced this, we announced it on our Twitter and Facebook and on our website. Somebody sent me back a little note and said, "I don't give a rat's behind about Prince William and Kate Middleton. I won't be listening to the show." Well, we always appreciate comments, and that's okay. Not everybody's going to like this, but 823,000 people on the Internet looked for Kate Middleton and Prince William last week. So somebody's interested, so we just thought we would bring that on for people to learn about compatibility. And we're very, very happy that we have Pam Ostley with us, and she's going to add information on about her system. So that's just a little bit about a happy note, because Pam's a happy person, and I'm happy this person doesn't have these Parkinson's symptoms anymore. So take it away, Richard.
Are almost becoming a regular. I'm so, always delighted when we talk to Pam, because she's, fun. She's fun. And she's such a, I'll read her brief bio, but, she's so fun to play with. Pam Ostley is an author, consultant, lecturer, and professional psychic. She's written 3 books: Life Colors, What Your Aura Colors Say About You; Love Colors, A New Approach to Love, Relationships, and Auras; and Make Your Dreams Come True. We're going to be talking with Pam about how this all comes together on her newest venture, Love Colors. Good morning, Pam.
Good morning, Sherry and Richard. How are you? Well, I know how Richard is.
You can tell, yeah.
I just think you are the perfect person to bring on and to talk about this very public couple.
Uh-huh, great. Well, I will do my very best to participate with you.
I think it's such a fun mix. Now, Sherry, are you going to bring up are you going to do an actual nano voice intake of their voices? Do you have a chart?
We have
Middleton for the people on WebEx?
Yes. We have that going.
Okay. Because
so
I think that's that's a fun mix of, fun, as Pam knows me, and Sherry knows too. I like to have fun. And I think this is such a great mix of seeing in the chart. I don't know what we're going to see, but I know in the chart, Sherry will show us the voice analysis and show us the missing pieces in the voice and how they go together. And then Pam will give us the input of her perspective, a psychic overview of Pam's years of work. How many years have you been doing this, Pam?
27 years. 27 years, and I'm only 28 years old, so that's...
Really? You started when you were so young. It's unbelievable.
I did. Actually, I'm 26 years old, so I started a really long time ago.
really long time ago.
Over 27 years, yes.
Wow,
but she brings up a good point. I think babies do this all the time.
I agree.
don't know how to express it or how to communicate it.
That's right.
I actually have an opinion about that I think actually what happens to us as children is we do this naturally. And then as we grow up and as the world comes upon us and we get influenced or whatever, we turn these skills off because we get overwhelmed or whatever the languaging would be. You know, we find that this is not a skill. You know, our mommy says, oh, no, you're not really seeing that, or your dad says you can't do that. But I think we organically do this when we come in, and then we turn it off as we become, you know, young adults.
You know, I actually saw a scientific show the other day where they've been studying babies and found that babies and children, actually their minds are more expansive and we go more and more asleep as we get older. I thought that was very interesting to come from a scientific point of view. Babies are very aware of their environment, they're expansive, they learn things, they're aware of things we're not even aware of. And then as we get older, we just get more and more focused and focused and focused and focused, and we shut out all the other things that are going on around us. Isn't that amazing?
Isn't that amazing?
I believe it.
Wow.
Yep. And we've seen babies that they're drawn to somebody and they reach out to someone, and then other people, they pull back and start crying. Obviously, they're feeling their energy or their aura, whatever, you know, the energetic field around people. So they're very aware. Same with animals.
We had a granddaughter that had seizures in utero. And when she was born, if her grandfather would hold her, and they were born one day apart, you know, different years, but if the grandfather would hold her, she never would have a seizure. Or if she was having a seizure and he touched her and hugged her, the seizure would go away.
Wow, that's fascinating.
So I think that energy thing is right there. And we see energy as color. Is your whole idea of love colors based on the color of that energy, Pam?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. The color of a person, the colors in a person's aura. It's a dating site that matches up the compatible energies. So, you know, blues are compatible with violets and yellows, and tans are compatible with some greens. And, yes, that's exactly what this site is based on.
Can you give us a little basis of the color system you use?
Sure. Just so people know, if they haven't heard me speak before, I do see auras, and I know, Shari, you feel them, or hear them, I'm sorry. We both feel them, I'm sure. So I see this glow that comes off of people like a light off of a light bulb, and I've noticed that there are lots of different colored bands out from people, the energy, and the one or two colors of bands that are closest to a person's body are what I call their life colors, which shows their personality, how they are in relationship, career directions for them, potential health problems, how they are with money. It reveals a lot about a person. It's kind of their theme, their map, their soul map of what they've chosen to do in this lifetime. So I see different colors, and I categorize them into three families: the physical colors, the mental colors, and the emotional colors. And the physical colors process what's true in life based on their physical body. So that's red, orange, magenta, and yellow. And then the mental colors, I see four different tans: logical tan, environmental tan, sensitive tan, and abstract tan, and then greens. And they process what's real through data and information logically. And then there are the spiritual or emotional colors, and those beings process predominantly through their inner voice, their inner intuition, their inner vision, and those are blues, violets, indigos, crystals, and lavenders.
I'm writing all this down. Do you think that people get in trouble when they don't match their basic colors or trying to be something else?
Absolutely. Now, I do this system not to box people in or lock them in or define them so much that they don't feel a sense of freedom. This system is meant to validate who people are and give them permission to be who they are. So and you're exactly right, Sherry, when people try to do something other than who they are, or they feel like they're supposed to be other than who they really are, they were raised that way, or the authority figures told them they can't be a certain way, that's exactly when they get into trouble. They get unhappy, they get frustrated, they feel like life's not working for them, they feel like life's not worth it. They get into careers that are not fulfilling for them. They get into relationships that aren't fulfilling for them. So I find that when people really live their full, their true life purpose, their true life colors. They're expansive and happy, and they feel that life is wonderful.
And for some people, it's like they don't fit, but they don't know why.
Yes, that's and exactly right.
And they'll come to you or read your book. Do you do private consultation with people?
Yes, I do. I have websites, I have books, I have a radio show, and I do private consultations.
Okay, so if people wanted to get in touch with you, how would they do that?
Well, I've got two websites. If they just want to get in touch with me, they can go to auracolors.com, A-U-R-A, colors, C-O-L-O-R-S, not the British, colors.com. Or if they want to go on to the dating side or the get-to-know-you side or, you know, meet up with other people, then that's lovecolors.com.
Okay, aura means light. Did you know that?
I didn't. Well, how cool is that? It's perfect.
And people have known about this for so many eons. Look at the pictures of Jesus, even really centuries old of Jesus, got this light around his head. But yet people, some people, not as much, they're afraid that people are going to look at their colors and know about them, and their privacy is going to be blown, and they're really lusting after somebody, and they don't want that out there. So people are kind of afraid of this at the same time.
Right, right. And you know what, Sherry, that's such a great point. I tell people, I you know what, we've all felt it. We've all had the experience of meeting somebody and feeling instantly drawn to them, and we don't know why, and then other people, we meet them, and we just don't want to be that close to them. We're not comfortable with, we're feeling their energy. So we've all experienced it. And I love that you bring up that, you know, they used to paint halos around saints and Jesus and people. Obviously, their auras were so bright that other people could see them. And then the other thing is we've actually been using the aura color terms in our language for a long time. We talk about someone being true blue or I'm feeling blue today, and that totally describes a blue personality. Then we've got the happy face yellows, and I'm feeling really chicken yellow today. Or we've got red with passion, red with rage, those and green with envy, green money. Those totally describe the personality types of those aura colors.
As we're doing this evaluation on compatibility, can you tell who's compatible with who just based on their color? You guys shouldn't be together and you're okay?
Typically, there are aura colors that are very compatible with each other, and then there are some that are moderately compatible, and then there are certain aura colors that if they were in a relationship together, they are going to have way more challenges with that relationship. Now, I believe that with enough love and enough commitment, any couple can make it, but certain colors like a yellow with a green, that is going to be a really challenging combination because yellows are, as we know, Richard, fun-loving, free-spirited kids. They like to play. They like to be creative. They don't want to take life that seriously. They're not always that great with money. And greens are driven by accomplishment, and they're type A personalities, and they're driven. They want to get PhDs or masters. They want to make a lot of money. They want to do well in business. They're much more competitive and driven. And so if they're with somebody who's a yellow, who's like laid back and, hey, later, dude, and, you know, chill out, what's the matter with you? Then, boy, I'll tell you, they're going to have a real challenging relationship.
So everybody who has these colors, even if you're not supposed to be together, you counsel them and say, okay, this is what you have going for you and this is how you can get around the issues?
Yes, I do. So if I see a couple that she's a yellow and he's a green, I give them tools. So if you really want this relationship to work, you encourage your yellow to be creative or to become the healer that she is, and then you turn it into a business or you help, you know, ground it with the money. Or yes, there's definitely counseling that can be done. And I write this in my books too, Sherry, that there are ways for people to get along. Once they understand another person's aura colors and what that means, we're a lot more allowing, we're a lot more accepting, and so we go, oh, you're not like me because you're an indigo or you're a crystal, I get it, and then we can allow them to be who they are, and then all our relationships improve.
I love that. The underpinning language there is, if somebody's different, they're still okay.
Yes. There are no good or bad colors. We've got a reason for every color on the planet. It's like a big rainbow. Can you imagine? It's like music. If we only had one note, That'd be a really boring sound.
People love what you do. I looked up some of your reviews on Amazon, particularly for Life Colors. You get very high marks. People are hungry for this information. You know, and once you did my husband's thing, and he's a tan, and he's into control and mental kind of thing, when I understood that I have to open the shower this way or he complains and put the shower curtain on that side, it wasn't just a power trip. That's just the way he is.
Right.
But it drove me nuts. It drove me nuts until you told us what, you know, what the colors were and what they meant.
Right, because with all that violet in your aura, and violets are such big picture and, you know, bottom line and expansive and spiritual and visionary, and then the tan, step one, step two, step the logical, the analytical, the practical. You know, again, they're not always compatible until they understand each other, and then there's a, you know, it can be a good balance. The tan can ground the violet and give her a platform to be able to do all these amazing big projects that are outside the box.
When you do this for people, you do it from your intuitive side, from your natural ability to see auras. Well, I take the coward's way out, and I do it with a computer program so people can see it up there on the screen. So we're going
I'm guessing you use your intuition too, Sherry. Knowing colors, it's like you have to be that intuitive also. So even if you're showing it on the computer, that's great, but I bet you have a sense of them too.
Yes, I do, and Richard can tell you those kinds of things. But I wrote the program, so that's where I insert myself into that. Do you have to see somebody, or can you just do it from information from the ethers about them?
That's a great question. No, I do not have to see someone. When I first started doing this work, I was actually doing psychic work. It was a year later that I started seeing the aura colors. So I can feel people's colors through the phone. You can tell me someone's name and hair color and eye color, and I can go track them down. I can talk to people that have crossed over. I can do this with people in history that aren't alive anymore. It's like adjusting the dial of a radio station because, you know, from quantum physics now we know it's all waves of energy and information. And so it's just like a cell phone or a TV station. I just adjust the dial to match that frequency, and then I can tell all kinds of things about people.
In your book, do you give some language clues? Like, Richard is yellow. What does he need?
They do. I love your question, Sherry. You're asking great questions. All of the different personality colors do have a language that they speak. So yellows are very touchy-feely, huggy. You yellows, by the way, Richard, are the best huggers on the planet. That's why I love when you send me hugs, even via email. So yellows will talk about how they feel, but it's more in the body, like that makes my head hurt or my stomach hurt, or they'll talk about the body feeling more. Tans and greens talk about what they think because they're in the mental, so they'll go, well, I think this. Even if you can get a tan to talk about their feelings, which they don't usually do, they'll say, well, I think I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Violets talk about what they see, what they dream, their visions, because they come from the inner eye, the third eye, so they're visionaries. So they talk in visual terms. Blues talk about how they feel emotionally. They just want to know how you feel about something. They don't care about the data, the details. How did that make you feel? So there are definitely language words that you can identify each of the colors.
Can people be combinations?
Oh, absolutely. Most people do have one or two life colors. It's usually a combination, and I see this either people have chosen to not just be a straight blue, they added the yellow so they could have more fun here, so they add it to either balance out their colors, or they add it as rocket fuel. So if somebody's a blue and they've got violet too, the blue wants to be loving to people, but the violet wants to do something even more powerful and more dynamic and reach the masses, so they add it as like booster in their lifetime.
Is Richard a yellow and a violet?
He's got a lot of yellow. He's got violet, and he has a little bit of logical tan. Right, Richard?
Yep.
That's why he can do the technology, because most of us don't have the patience to do the details, the data, the technology. Although when that violet kicks in, then he doesn't want to have to mess with those details, huh, Richard, when it goes wrong. Like, oh, doggone it, I already did the details. Come on, let's get on to the big picture here.
Yeah. That's why I love doing radio, because I'm doing it, it's in it, we're on it, we're doing something like this, we're having a great dialogue, we're having a great conversation, then I'm done.
Yeah.
So he needs a fun-loving, logical person that can turn on the logic when needed.
That's right. That's a great way to say it, yes. And when people have two colors, they can either balance each other out and be complementary if they work together, or they can fight with each other, like someone who's got yellow and violet. Violets have all these big dreams and big visions and these big ideas, grand projects that they want to do, and yellows have a tendency when they're out of power, meaning the downside of them, to procrastinate or not be good with money, and that just frustrates a violet. It's like, come on, I got all these big projects to do, and yellows go, is that going to be a lot of hard work? I don't really want to have to work that hard to do that. If the violet can convince the yellow side that it's going to be fun and easy, then the yellow's on board.
Awesome. Richard, is every time we do his chart, it always comes up, I want to look at the spiritual side of this. So I was thinking, is he only showing that on the radio, or is that really Richard? So that's good to know. I think we're all looking for that. But if we'd pay attention to what our gut says, or heart, or wherever you people keep their feelings, I keep mine in my gut, we could pay attention. You know, you're interviewing for a job and you hate the person and you want the money for the job and you need to feed your family, so you just kind of put that on hold, and you really should just run from that job and go look someplace else. Well, that's my opinion. I shouldn't stick my nose in there.
Now, I have to ask you a question. Pam, Pam, have you seen in your years of practice, have you seen a couple who are together and are pretty perfect, and yet their colors don't match up? Well, perfect is a tricky word. You know, get along really well, or, you know, I'm not sure.
Actually, Richard, that's a great question. Typically, I see the opposite, like, well, they're together because of this. Well, actually, I have a good example for you. Couples that I'm a little concerned, well, let's put it this way. Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt. Angelina Jolie is huge violet with yellow. I mean, tremendous violet. So that's the global, the actress. It's very violet. Brad Pitt is actually a yellow logical tan, which normally those color combinations are not compatible. But when he got swept off his feet by all her charisma, because violets are very charismatic, he has added violet since he's been with her, and that's really the only way they would be able to be any kind of long-term compatible. And I still have my wondering if she's going to somehow sabotage that and push him away, although tans can be pretty reliable. But you understand, ever since he's been with her, do you see how much more global and humanitarian he's become?
Oh, he's a very different person since he's been following her.
Completely different. Yeah, when he was with Jennifer Aniston, which typically yellow tans and yellow blues are much more, she's got yellow and blue, well, with some violet, that's much more compatible. That's the boy and girl next door. So it's like, that's why everyone went, oh, they had a beautiful couple. It just felt right. It just felt like they were supposed to be together because they do have compatible aura colors. When he went off with Angelina, it's like, oh, that's not going to work unless he adds the violet, which he did.
So he switched from wanting comfort to wanting excitement or expansion.
Yeah, those violets can be really, I'll tell you, you can get really swept away by that violet charisma. I mean, George Clooney's got a lot of violet. He's a violet yellow, and Tom Cruise and Bill Clinton and those violets, boy, I'll tell you, whoo. They are very charismatic people, so they're kind of hard to resist, except for they're also hard to pin down because violets really are very independent.
I find tans very hard to pin down. Maybe it's because I'm married to one. And, you know, it's like pulling teeth to find out what time it is for the day.
Because tans don't like sharing information. They keep everything to themselves. They don't express themselves emotionally usually. They're very reliable. They'll still be there. They don't run away, that's for sure. They're like rocks. When they make a commitment, boy, they are there. They're the ones that'll stick with careers long term with the same company until they retire. But getting information out of them, I totally understand. They're really hard to get information from.
No, there can be extremes, and I think I'm married to one, because if you ask him what time is it, he will say either, why do you need to know, Or if you, or can you tell me what time it is? Yes.
yeah.
Is that that extreme control person, or is he playing?
Yes, TANs can get like that. They, you know, they need to know the data, the logic, the practicality, and they're not wasteful. They're not risk takers. They don't like to waste. Usually when a TAN buys a piece of furniture forever, they want to make sure it lasts like 50 years, right?
Yes.
Why should we go out and spend money on another couch? This one should be durable and last, right? So very practical, and they can be very cautious with their money, too. Now, I don't want people to think that TANs are negative people, because they're not. I mean, Clint Eastwood's an environmental TAN with Violet. Harrison Ford is yellow and TAN. TANs, what we like about TANs is they're so grounded, and they will take care of the details and practical, and they're calmer usually, and it takes less to upset them once they do than, you know, watch out. But TANs will usually be very, all right, everybody calm down, we'll figure it out. They're, you know, stable. They're more stable.
Solid. Solid.
Very
and
solid,
I guess
very ground.
If that's what you want in a person, then that's the person you're going to choose. You know, I find it very strange that Clint Eastwood has always been one of my favorite actors, and Kris Kristofferson on the edge of that.
Mm-hmm.
But my husband looks like Clint Eastwood, even. And to find it fascinating that they think the same. Do body types have colors?
Well, that's a great question. I haven't been asked that before. Usually I can tell you this. Typically the colors that put on weight are blues, yellows, and violets. And they tend to put on weight for protection or because they're unfulfilled. Or in a violet's case, they need to be seen. So if they haven't felt really seen, they get bigger and go, well, if I get bigger, will you see me now? Or violets have so much power and so much passion and so much charisma that if they're not fully being able to express it, it balloons up inside of them. They sit on their all that power. They just keep it inside. Now, having said that, greens are usually the ones that are incredibly thin, slender. A lot of them can have eating disorders. They do not like putting on weight. They have much more self-discipline. So greens like to look very nice and dress very nicely. And, you know, typically I don't see overweight greens unless it's a green violet or a green blue or a green yellow, and then they tend to put on weight. Tans, again, it depends on their second color. Usually tans will stay very average body. The only time I see tans that are overweight is, again, if it's a tan yellow, a tan violet, then they can start putting on weight.
How did you come up with these combinations just over the years to correlate? Okay, that guy's aura is yellow, and he's this way, so that's what yellow means.
Well, actually, I started 27 years ago. I met Dr. Barbara Bowers, who could see aura. She saw auras her entire life. She thought everyone could see auras. It wasn't until she was in her 30s that she realized that people weren't seeing what she was seeing. And I had been doing psychic work at the time, and I brought her to Santa Barbara to do workshops, and she started describing someone's lavender or someone's indigo, and I'd go, oh, it fit with what I had been picking up psychically about people. And so I went, oh, that's a yellow. Now that makes sense. Okay, I get it. So she got me started with it, and then over the years, I developed the ability to see the aura within about a year of meeting her. And then over the years, after seeing thousands and thousands and thousands of clients, I have discovered even more about them. I went, oh, my gosh, I didn't know this about violets, but every violet that I'm meeting has this same thing going on. So more and more information has come to me over the years about each one of the colors.
How do you get past the person who's putting on a facade and what they really are? Like, I think Obama is totally a facade. Tell me what he really is.
Well, he was born violet with yellow. He has some indigo in his outer bands, oddly enough, and he has some green in his outer bands. So the green is probably what you're picking up that's not his real colors. But he was born violet yellow, and violets are leaders. They're visionaries. He has the same colors as John and Robert Kennedy, Abraham Lincoln, Martin Luther King, I Have a Dream, I Have a Vision. Nelson Mandela, Maya Angelou, Oprah, they're all violet yellows. And you see, yellows are very addictive personalities, so his smoking is that little part that reveals that yellow. But the green that he's added is probably what you're picking up, because greens are much more controlled. Well, violets and greens are both very intelligent, but greens will be much more controlled about it. Violets are much more passionate, so greens are very intelligent. They want to, they can have all their information very intelligently, but when violets speak, violets, it just flows through them. They channel it. They just, when you, and you've got violet, Sherry, so you know this one. When violets are on, information just starts coming through them. So the fact that it's more controlled might be why you're picking that up. I don't know, because I don't know what you're hearing in his voice. I know what I see in the aura colors. And I'm not used to seeing a president with indigo in their vans. He's the first president I've seen that's also got indigo in there.
What I see is he had good intentions. He was using history and historical people that he loved and thought made a difference. He was incorporating that. But he's been drawn off his course somewhere.
Mm. Well, I guess when you have to deal with sides feuding, and violets can either get diplomatic and, you know, okay, let's, you know, King Solomon, let's work this out, everybody get along, because violets are naturally mediators. When violets are out of power, meaning the downside, they can get bossy, arrogant, controlling, holier than thou, so that's a violet out of power. Or they can get really scattered and want to start doing 20 different things at once. So probably he's used some of that green to try. Well, violets, again, they're mediators, so him trying to get everybody to get along or both sides to win. I don't know. I'm not into politics very much. I watch the aura colors around people.
In your book, do you teach people to tell what other people are?
Yes. In I have three books. My book, Life Colors, I do talk about how people can learn to see the auras. And so there's a couple things. One, there are ways in there to actually learn how to physically see them, and usually violets are the best at seeing them. You yellows, Richard, usually feel them first in their physical bodies. They're very kinesthetic. So yellows can walk into a room and go, oh, it feels good in here. Oh, something's going on in this room. It doesn't feel good. So I teach people the different ways that they can learn to actually see the aura, but also people have reported to me that when they read about each one of the personalities, they start being able to identify people just, like, for example, when Tans talk. Tans are very deliberate. They, you know, have to tell you step one, step two, step three, step four, and if you try to rush them, they get very upset.
Oh,
greens
okay.
are usually, the whole time you're talking to a green, they're going, uh-huh. They want you to get to the punchline. They almost want to finish sentences for you. So people have told me that once they have read about the colors and learned about them, now they know how to identify their friends, their family members, their coworkers. So there's lots of ways to identify who someone is.
Can they buy your books from your site, or do they need to go to Barnes & Noble or Amazon or something?
They can go anywhere. If you can find all our Barnes & Noble and Borders in Santa Barbara, all of them closed business. We don't have any bookstores in our town anymore. One little tiny one. But, yeah, they're on Amazon. They're in Barnes & Noble. They're on my site. You can get this book anywhere. I mean, a lot of times they're out of them, but you can order them.
I would like to ask you about a very famous couple that's in the news a lot, something over 800,000 hits this February alone, Kate Middleton and Prince William. Can you talk about them a bit?
Sure. Now, do you want to say what you see first, or you want me to tell you what I'm seeing?
Either way, if people want to look at this. What I've found with it, I think, is very surprising, and I have it up here for, it's not surprising. I just didn't realize it before. I have it up for people watching us on WebEx. I have a composite of Prince William and Kate Middleton, who are due to be married, I think, in April. I can't remember. The famous couple. So I did their profiles, and they are incredibly similar. Kate has more emotion toward fairness, and things have to be fair to people, and she has a love of helping people if they'll help themselves. Now, with Prince William, he is a doer. Almost the same as Kate. He just lacks the emotion, the gentle emotion that she has. So their profiles are very, very similar. On the left side, the logical side, Kate is more emotional. And then on the right emotional side, Prince William is more of a get up and do kind of thing. But one of the things I started to notice about their files is they were very similar to Princess Diana. So the people watching us are looking at these three charts, and you'll see that Kate Middleton has almost probably 80% of Princess Diana's voice. So what?
Wow.
What William did was go find his mother. And I loved Princess Diana and what she stood for, her passion for the people, but she just had this inability to help herself. And Kate does not lack that ability. I love it when she said, somebody asked her if she was privileged to be with Prince William, and she said, well, he's privileged to be with me. But that is a little sneaky thing in her chart. She doesn't quite have that real bravado out there. Some of that is kind of an act. But to look at Kate and Princess Diana and look at the similarities, where Diana seemed to be stifled in the area of physical grounding, she should have married a tan. What is Prince Charles? Was he a tan?
Yes. Yes, he does have tan.
But one of
Charles,
the things, but one of the things that he did was marry his friend. I think he married Diana with a purpose to have good-looking kids, which did happen. And then he went back and married his friend. And Prince William saw to it that Kate was his friend first. And I think they, as a couple, will pick up right where Diana left off, of helping the people, really doing something, not just being figureheads. They're going to be useful to the common person. But that's my take on them.
I agree that they are definitely going to be useful to the common person. That's awesome. So I love the comparisons. And, you know, it's so common for people to marry one of their parents. So Kate Middleton is actually a violet yellow, and William is a yellow tan who's added some violet. So there is compatibility there, and it fits just what you said. Violets, as she gets older and older, she is going to become stronger and come into her own more and speak her own mind. That's why, and violets, I notice how she dresses. Violets are usually a lot more visual, so they like to be more aware of their physical appearance and the beauty around them. So violet yellow, it's a good thing that William has added some violet in his aura because he is a yellow tan. And so that will make them compatible. And tans do, you know, they tend to take, a yellow tan will take action more. It's like, okay, let's get this done. So that fits. What I can see is they're going to take turns being who's in charge and who gets to speak their mind, because violets are more emotional than tans. So that's the same thing I see with the aura colors. So right now I feel like there's a good match there, but if they do take turns, I feel like she can, you know, be okay, I'll be the nice person with that yellow, and then all of a sudden it's like, and you notice the yellows go do physical things together, like they go ski together. Yellows are very physical. When her violet really gets in power, it's like, oh no, you're going to listen to me, and no, that's not how it's going to be done. So I do see them as they get older, they are going to do a lot together. I totally agree with you. And his tans will think more. And yellows are nice guys. So tans will think a lot more, be practical about it. You know, it's down to earth. So I feel like they're basically going to balance each other out. But I do see them taking turns being in charge. And she'll speak her mind to him, too, and it'll be like, okay, I feel like he'll listen to her. And then other times she'll go, all right, this is fine. We can do whatever we need to do, whatever is protocol or whatever, you know, the royal stuff has to do. So it's funny that they have the same colors as Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, except for Angelina Jolie also has a red overlay. Her childhood, So that's what makes her more dramatic and more angry and why she got into so much trouble as an actress. And Kate is a violet yellow who's added some blue. So that will make her even more loving and more family-oriented and more able to deal with the people one-on-one, because violets want to reach the masses. Now, Princess Diana was a blue-yellow who ultimately added violet, which is why she could speak up for herself more, because blue-yellows don't want to cause any trouble. They're sweethearts. That's why. And blues don't always believe in themselves, so they can get very self-effacing, have low self-worth. And you see, as she started coming more into her own and started adding that violet, she got stronger and stronger. So I find it interesting, just what you said, Shari, that Princess Diana was a blue-yellow and added violet, and Kate is a yellow-violet who has added some blue. So they have the same three aura colors, just in a different order.
In their files, too, all three of them, they are going to be spontaneous emotional, but not spontaneous mental.
And that's a
big commonality that I think they'll be very open and honest with each other, but I think they'll be cautious about how they're perceived intellectually and logically by the public.
I totally agree with that. And I can see them doing amazing things on the planet. I feel like they're both, I can see them doing projects and humanitarian, and they're more the people's ruler than the queen.
The only difference with all three of them was the note of B, and that's a love of humanity. And Kate really leads the pack with a love of humanity and everything being useful and not for looks. And I think when you look at her wedding invitations, and she's not inviting the upper crust, she's inviting her commoner friends, that's justice, and social justice is very, very important to her. And I think Diana just begun to step out.
That's right. That's a very violet quality. So that's cool that it's showing up there.
The other thing, and I don't know quite how to say this politely, is Prince William showed to be very virile. That's a good way to put it. So I would expect lots of large family kind of things going on. I would expect them to have a large family and to include their extended family in what they were doing. And the ones that were faithful to who they are going to be the ones that they bring close to them. They will not tolerate fake or pomp very well at all. They'll do it to an extent because they think that people expect it or want to see it from them, but it's not something natural to them.
Well, that I agree with that. I totally agree with that. You know, the one thing is violets, I mean, with her blue, she may choose to have a lot of children, but violets don't always choose to have a lot of children. They have big projects to do, and they're not sit-at-home housewives or mommies. So if they do have a lot of children, she's going to need a lot of nannies and au pairs so that she can go out there and do her humanitarian global projects.
Well, it may be that they will bring children around them in a different way, doing children's projects.
Yeah, that's something more that a violet would do. Now, again, she has added blue, so I could see how it could go either way. Typically, violets, it's like they might adopt children or they go out into the world and help children in other cultures. So I could see her surrounding herself with children, yes.
With Kate, her first inclination is, does it feel emotionally correct to me?
Mm-hmm.
And with Williams, his first issue is, will this work for everyone? Will this work for the future? They come together on the note of F, which is kind of a Libra, a soft green in my system. But it's that balance between perception and action. These two people who are very level-headed, they're going to do what's right, not what the queen dictates or what royalty dictates. They're going to do what's right for the future of whatever they're involved with.
I totally agree with that. That's my perception, too.
One of the things that I see the public looking at is Kate is a very strong woman, and she's kind of the leader here. That's
mm-hmm.
that's not the truth personally. That may be what they're trying to convey to the public, but Prince William is the obvious foundation and leader of the two of them,
mm.
of the couple.
Yeah, that, see, you're using all the same language. Violets are leaders. They're visionaries. They are emotionally strong. They are leaders. So, and the grounding, tans are very grounding. They're very practical. They're very down to earth.
Well, she comes across on radio as being very practical, very down to earth. That's where it ought to be. But I didn't perceive that as her internal peace. I perceive that as what she needs to portray to get where she's going.
I agree.
And she has a bit more ego than Prince William. But that's to be expected, I guess. And they come together very, very strongly on justice and what's right and what's fair. So I don't think that you're going to see any abuse from them of any kind of rules. I don't see that you're going to see anything pushy from them that try to use their position to get where they're going. They want to fit into what they want to do, not to the people around them that they're forced to be with. Although I think Kate's very social and could get along with anybody. Nobody's going to push her around because of their position, I guess. That's what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm. No one's going to push them around. Uh-huh.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like the Queen. They're not going to push these two.
Mm-hmm. She will try. She definitely will try to get them to do certain things, but they're already not doing what she wants them to do.
Well, I think for them to not invite the Obamas to their wedding, that was very telling. That she would probably say, well, we don't even know these people. Well, the head of state, they should invite them. I don't really care that they're the president and first lady of the U.S. I don't know them. They don't belong there. That's not the kind of wedding I want.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that one incident, that one example is kind of how they're going to live their life.
Right. It's not a political statement. It's
yes.
a marriage. Uh-huh.
Yes. And that's very important to them.
Mm-hmm.
I think this will be a very open, loving relationship where mm-hmm. when you saw Princess Diana and Charles together, it was kind of cold and stiff. And if she was very loving with the children, but that just was not part of Prince Charles. And I think William has inherited that warm graciousness from his mother. And I mean, he looks somewhat like his dad, but I'm certainly happy his personality fell on his mother's side. So.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I was devastated when she died or was killed or whatever it was. It just seemed like out of sync with time to me, and I feel like Kate Middleton coming into Prince William's life has put the timeline back together, and things are going to... Now things are going to be accomplished now that should have been.
Yeah, that makes sense. That totally makes sense. I know it didn't feel right to any of us. It's like, wait, something's wrong here. So it did have a huge impact. It did have a huge impact. It woke people up. Actually, when it happened, a lot of us, when we looked at it, we went, oh, my God. England is very tan. They're very proper and controlled and, you know, you follow the rules and you don't go outside the box. I mean, the Beatles being violets coming out of England, that was a huge thing. And then all the musicians, all the violets that were there just kind of burst out, but through music and creativity. But England is a very staunch and very tan country. It's tan violet. When Princess Diana transitioned, it burst open the heart of England. It's huge heart opening. So we felt that had to have been the purpose for that, because it definitely upset the whole country.
What is Camilla, and what was that attraction? Because that feels like a very strained public, strained relationship.
Mm-hmm. Camilla's, she's got tan in her aura, but I'm going to say that she hides her energy quite well. And I can see why. She had a lot of criticism So I don't invade people's space if they don't want to be invaded, and she definitely did not want to be invaded. But you're exactly right to say that they're friends. It feels karmic to me. It also feels, in other words, they've known each other before. But I can tell this is also friends, friends, friends. So she's got some tan, he's got some tan, and he's got a touch of violet, and she's got a touch of blue. So it's and she's also got a little bit of yellow, and yellows don't like being not liked. So I believe that she was probably born blue-yellow and added all that tan, but when I see her, there's so much tan around her. And so his tan and her tan, plus he's got a little touch of yellow and her yellow. So, you know, they get along as friends. You used the exact right word, Shari, as friends.
She just feels starched to me in public.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's guarded. She knows that people don't like her. She knows, I mean, they've warmed up a bit with her because people are starting to accept that it's okay for people to marry that actually love each other, you know, as opposed to what the standard that was set. So they started warming up, but she's been very guarded because, you know, one, she had to hide that they were in love with each other. Two, she had a lot of eggs thrown at her by the public, figuratively.
Well, I think Prince William and Kate Middleton have very much learned from their mistakes, and now you're really going to see it take off. And maybe England's color will change to something less formal, which I think would be good for the England and the world.
Right.
I see England as Capricorn blue. The color of a lot of their cars, that Capricorn blue, and that's the person that wants to, for in our system, to put everything right. Like Nixon was a Capricorn.
Mm-hmm.
Everything right, everything in its place, everything the way it ought to be, under my order, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They can be a tan violet type of energy with the mental, the vision of how it should be, the justice, the legal. And violet is very royalty, by the way. Violets, that's why England ruled the world for so long. Violets are the royalty, the kings, the queens. And then tans, again, are that very staunch, mental, controlled, you know, everything's supposed to be in its place. So.
Pam, I cannot believe we are out of time.
Well,
good grief.
We've got to cover a lot of subjects.
We're going to have you back again, absolutely. You're a fascinating guest. I'd like to remind people that we have happy hour coming up. Go to soundhealthoptions.com. Look for happy hour. We do vocal profiles on the air. Get in touch with Pam through her website, auracolors.com, and lovecolors. Is that a .com too? I didn't write it down.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And buy her books. They're fascinating. They're wonderful. They'll open your eyes to a new way the world works. So thank you for being with us. Richard, do you have any last words?
I have so many words, but no voice.
Do you have any
It was fun. It was really great listening to the two of you talk. It was a conversation that I thought it would be like this, and it was really, really fun. Thank you, both of you.
Thank you so much for having me on your show. I really appreciate it.
Well, I think anything that helps people open their minds to what's possible and to different layers and levels. I really believe that even one closed mind is a liability to all mankind.
Okay.
So thanks for being on the planet, Pam. Richard,
Thank you, as always.
You're welcome. Richard, as always, great show. We have to remember this one. And we do have a question coming in from email. They want to know what the show was, and I know we're over time. They want to know what the show was that we did on testing allergies. So, Richard, what was that, about a month ago? They could go back and look at the archives.
They could look at the archives if they go to blogtalkradio.com/Shari-Edwards and look at the archives. I've labeled the shows so that they actually show more clearly what they're about on the archive. And they'll be able to see the one on allergy. It was about a month ago. I'm kind of thinking about a month ago.
But we usually have more questions than that, and we don't. So that is, Jordan said.
I know, that's shocking. Well,
I think
we're so, everybody's so overwhelmed by, you know, listening to the two of you riff in a good way that it's it's a lot of information, and it's a great information. You know, it's a language that I love. I love using the colors in the way that you love using talking about sap to talk about how people are and who they are and how they act. And it's that part that Pam, you said about being, you know, counseling a couple and getting them to see what each other's colors are, so that they can understand who they are as people, and then that really helps them in their own relationship. I think that's a brilliant piece.
Yep.
Well,
it's,
Pam is brilliant. Jordan posted a comment, babies only live in the present moment. They're not distracted by time. And probably when we were talking about babies seeing auras. And Richard, we're out of time.
We are.
Okay.
All right. It's been very fun. Thank you, everybody. It's been a great show, and we'll see you next week.